on your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Welcome in once again. Good afternoon. Trent Condon here once again today, running solo. Ken Miller will join me, though, later in the program here. 1700 KBGG with you until 2 o'clock today. And a busy show, as always. David Kaplan will be stopping by from NBC Sports Chicago. And ESPN 1000 will talk Cubs. We'll talk White Sox. We'll talk Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks. We'll even talk a little MVC basketball, as the Capman calls a lot of games during the season. That'll be coming your way here at about 12:20 this afternoon. More college basketball talk as well later on in the hour, about 12:40. Aaron Torres from the Athletic, he'll be stopping by. We'll be talking with him. A whole lot going on. The Athletic, excuse me. A lot going on there. Oklahoma, what's happening with the Sooners? Got to get into that, certainly. Bubble picture, what's going on? Big Ten tournament starting today with Iowa, Illinois. Though, 5 wins in 5 days is what the Hawks have to do to get themselves into the NCAA tournament. But a lot going on with Aaron Torres. We'll talk with him at 12:40. John Miller, speaking of those Hawkeyes, he'll be by from HawkeyeNation.com at 1:15 today. And then Ken, at the end of the show, he'll be checking in as he gets ready to depart from Vegas to L.A. as his work continues out on the West Coast. But glad to have you along for the ride here today for the next couple of hours. Looking back at Iowa State, Donovan Jackson, a very emotional night last night, and I love the speech that he had. In fact, I might play a small clip of that here at the beginning for people that missed it. Donovan Jackson, and obviously the passing of his father unexpectedly, 52 years old, and the impact that that made for a young man that played for 2 seasons for Iowa State, coming over from the junior college ranks. He'll hit a shot a year ago against Kansas that'll be remembered for a long time, being part of that group that got to the round of 32, won a Big 10 tournament title, a Big 12 tournament title, but we will talk about that certainly as well later on today. Here at the top, though, so last night I'm out, as seemingly I always am, calling high school basketball this time of year, and what a game last night, by the way. Number 7 Johnston knocks off 3rd-ranked Des Moines North, and there's a few things that I want to touch on here at the top. And I want to start with something that frustrates me as somebody that doesn't have a rooting interest. Look, I don't have kids in high school. My daughter's 2.5. She's still a long ways away from high school sports. I taught in West Des Moines for a number of years. But I believe, not since I didn't grow up in this area, pretty fair and balanced. Now, I have all kinds of people. They'll say, oh, you're just a Valley guy. I've had Waukee people tell me that. Okay, I get it. I've had other people, oh, you're a Waukee supporter, you're a Johnston supporter. And I guess it's kind of a badge of honor that people think that I cheer for all these different teams. Heard it last night, I was cheering for North. Then talked to a North person, why are you cheering for Johnston? I don't cheer for either time. I try to be excited for both sides when we get to the state tournament, as we will next week with Boys State and tomorrow with Girls Basketball. Well, you're darn right, I'm going to be rooting for Johnston to knock off Iowa City High tomorrow. I'm going to be rooting for Indianola to knock off Iowa City West. I will root in those instances, but when it's 2 Central Iowa teams, I don't have a rooting interest. What I want to see is I want to see the best teams in the state tournament. That's what I want to see. Now, I don't think there should be buys. I don't think you should just get a layup to get in, though some people say some programs across the state almost get that with the paths they have to get to the state tournament. But what I want to see is the best teams. You got to win games to get there. Upsets happen along the way. I get all that. But it's disappointing in a year where you could see the class of high school basketball on the boys' side. And you could see that there were top-flight teams. And to me, from what I saw consistently throughout the year, I thought the 2 best teams that I saw this year were Hoover and North. Johnston had a great run, really good, and played excellent at the end of the season. In fact, they throttled Hoover the last game of the regular season and then beats North last night. But the path shouldn't be this difficult. And this goes to the Boys Association and the difference in the dichotomy that we have between the 2 governing bodies in high school sports in the state of Iowa. There's the Girls Union and the Boys Association. These are different entities. It's not all run by the same group. In some states, that is the case. It is a high school sports board, girls, boys. That's what they have. And then everything goes from there. Here, it is separate. And there is a difference between the two. There's no doubt. I've worked with them. I've called games. I've been at their state tournaments. And this isn't to say that the boys does a terrible job. I just think the girls do it better. And I believe the girls' union does it better for a couple of different reasons. First, what they strive to get at their state tournaments. And to me, that's the biggest thing. That's the ultimate goal. Played high school sports. What was the goal? Yeah, winning a conference was nice. Bringing home a title for that was good. But what mattered, at least to me, and I think everybody that I played with, was getting to state. That was the ultimate goal. That's what you strive to do. To get, back in my day, to Old Veterans Auditorium. Or for baseball, for us it was to get to Marshalltown. Now it's obviously Zach Taylor. That's what you work to do every single year. And if you put together a season, and you have a great team, there should be a path set up for you to get there. And it shouldn't matter. It should not matter if there's another really good team in your class 20 miles away. It shouldn't matter that the CIML has 18 teams in it. And you know what? Some years, 5, 6, 7 teams are good enough to get there. See, the Boys Association, what they want this to be is a state tournament. That means somebody comes from all areas of the state. And you hear this down at the 2A and 3A level a lot up in Northwest Iowa where they play great basketball up there. And they've had some excellent teams. But you know what? Only one's going to come from this area because it's a state tournament. They want everybody from the same state. Think of that for a moment. Think of when you got your NCAA bracket and you got your 68 teams, you're looking to fill it out, and the whole West region was only filled by teams in the West. At New Mexico State, they'll probably be a 13, 14 seed coming out of the WAC this year. But you know what? Out West, they'd be a 5 seed. Because we want a team in the Final Four from the West. And then think of the East bracket. You go through there, North Carolina, it'd be like a 9 seed. Now, this is the way that we do it. How silly that is. And it really is. It's silly. In almost every other avenue, what you want is to get the best teams at the state tournament. And they dropped the ball. Because last night, Des Moines North and Johnston, those teams both deserve to be in the state tournament. Those teams were excellent all year long. You knew they were going to be good. It's not like the brackets came out before the season like it was in the old days. And the sub-state pairings. They knew this. They knew this beforehand. And another thing that drives me nuts is just the free pass that some places go. You know, their years, pretty much year after year, the Quad Cities area, North Scott, Davenport schools, depending on how the sub-states shake out, sometimes it's the Dubuque schools. You know, 2 or 3 teams should get to the state tournament. They have 2 or 3 of the best 8 teams. Nope, just one. Just one from that area. And here in Central Iowa, year after year after year, 3 teams. That's it. Des Moines North, sorry. Hoover, sorry. Dowling Catholic, great run. It ends against Waukee. Only 3. But we'll have somebody from far west Iowa. Sioux City West will be there again. Check that east. They're going to be in the tournament again. Beat a, what was it, 11-10 Council Bluffs Abe Lincoln team to get to state. And it happens every year. Forward thinking. That's all I ask. And will it cost a little bit more? Sure. You know, you have a sub-state game between Sioux City East and Waukee. You play it in Council Bluffs. Yeah, it's going to cost money. You got to bus them there. It's going to be more difficult for the fans from both sides as opposed to playing it close to one place. But isn't that what you want? Don't you want to have the teams, your best teams at your state tournament? That's what I want. Maybe I'm off. 515-264-1700. You can join me as well today as I'm running solo. We got David Kaplan coming up here in about 8 minutes. Back to the game last night. Polar Bears and Dragons. goes to overtime right at the end of regulation. A crazy confluence of events that happens there. North looking to hold the ball for the last 2 minutes of regulation, looking to get the last shot. Okay. They can do that because there's no shot clock. I've said it before. If South Dakota can have a shot clock, why can't the state of Iowa? Hey, we were just ranked the number one state in the country by somewhere. I don't even know where it was. Yeah, great to see everyone's pumping their chest out. To me, we're not number one until we get a shot clock in high school basketball. Then we can officially say we're number one. Come on. It's 2018. Oh, the cost. It's going to cost too much. Cost? South Dakota doesn't have state taxes. Yet their schools can find a way to pay for a shot clock. We can't hear? Come on. Be better. Be better than that. Oh, we can't find people to operate it. Look, I go across gyms. Big school, small level, I'm all over the place. You can find somebody that knows how to run a shot clock. It's easy. Hits the rim, you reset it. That's it. Hits the rim, hit the reset button. And it jumps back to 30 or 35 or even 45, whatever they want to do. Boom. Done. It can happen. Stop being so closed-minded on things. Just year after year, it's the same things. There's new blood in there. Maybe there'll be more and more new blood in Boone and can get those wheels in motion and get some new ideas going instead of just doing it the way that we always have. That's my hope. But North's holding on for the final couple of minutes. Johnson says the heck with that. Bobby Sanquist tells his team to foul. They do. We're going back and forth then instead of letting them tick off those last 2 minutes. So right at the end, Tyreek LaCour, who was outstanding again last night for Des Moines North. And there are going to be a lot more offers coming his way. We've talked about LaCour in the past as a player. Temperamental at times. He's not big. 5'10", 5'11". Lightning quick and shoot it from 30 feet with ease. But he had a temper. And braid officials, sometimes his teammates. The games that I call from North this year, I didn't see that. There's times he's frustrated, but you can see that with any high school kid. Most any high school kid, I should say. He's going to have some big offers coming his way. But he goes in, gets to the rim as he did all game long, finished with the layup, gave them a 2-point lead with about 5 seconds left. So Johnson in inbounds. And right as they inbound, a North player fouled. So Johnston came to the other end, hit the two free throws. We went to overtime. Johnston took control. Their point guard, Boston Grimes, who was excellent. Never had seen him play until this year. And all of a sudden, as a senior, he has jumped up and he's really good. He hit a couple of three-pointers, and they run away and win it in overtime and go to the state tournament. Congratulations to Johnston. North, I know there's a lot of people that wanted to see him there. I was a part of it. Just disappointing that it had to end like that. That those two teams, two of the best teams in the state, had to play in a sub-state final. Let's hope we can do better. We will see. With that, we'll take a break. On the other side, we got David Kaplan stopping by. We'll move from the high school ranks into the professional ranks with Cappy. Want to talk some Cubs with him today. Free agents baseball that we talked about really all winter long. Well, that is finally dissipating. We got more and more free agents signing, though some of the remaining people are out there, including Jake Arrieta. Get some thoughts on Capman with that coming up. We'll also talk Bears. Mike Glennon has been cut today as that organization over in Indianapolis prepares for the combine and the NFL draft. What's happening in that? A lot to get into today with Cappy. Looking forward to the conversation. Comes your way next here. It's the Ken Miller Show with Trent Connan on 1700 KBGG. Tomorrow, more basketball on the airwaves. We will have the Johnston game at 10 o'clock as they take on City High. And at 11:45, it'll be Indianola, and they face Iowa City West. We'll have that call for you as well coming up tomorrow. Thanks for listening in. Back with Cappy here in a moment.
Now, listen to 1700 KBGG on Alexa. Say, Alexa, enable the 1700 KBGG skill. Then to play us, say, Alexa, play 1700 KBGG.
Simple enough.
Hey, honey, going to the chicken coop to watch the game.
Whoa, football season is over. What game?
The basketball, soccer, hockey game, race.
Oh, big fan of those sports now, are we?
Yeah, always. You know me.
You're really just going for the wings and beer, aren't you?
Pretty much. Bye.
Yeah, buddy. The chicken coop knows what's up. The games are great, but the real MVPs are the flame-broiled wings and beer at your favorite sports bar. The Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill, West Des Moines and Urbandale.
Variety, the children's charity, works to improve the lives of underprivileged, at-risk, and special needs children by gifting bikes, building inclusive playgrounds, providing support to critically ill children, and more. Join us March 3rd and 4th for the Variety Telethon, a two-day entertainment showcase that raises funds to support Variety's mission. See great musical performances and hear from the children and families that have been impacted by Variety programs. Watch live at the Community Choice Credit Union Convention Center or on We Are Local 5. Join Variety in supporting Iowa kids by making a donation today. Donate at VarietyIowa.com to ensure that all children have the opportunity to reach their full potential.
Hello, basketball fans. This is Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. I opened the original Jethro's 10 years ago near Drake University. There are now 7 Jethro locations around the metro to serve you. Tournament time is barbecue time. Jethro's has been voted the best barbecue, best wings, and the best ribs in the city. Come to Jethro's and take the world-famous Adam Emenecker Challenge. Stop in and see me. I am Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. Order online at jethrosbbq.com.
Attention farmers, ag retailers, and co-ops. Learn how you can become an owner of a Garner, Iowa nitrogen plant. This program is tailor-made for farmers, agricultural retailers, and individuals who want to benefit from a local nitrogen plant. Visit them at the Hawkeye Farm Show at the Unidome in Cedar Falls, February 27th through March 1st. And visit the website for additional meeting locations the week of March 11th at greenfieldnitrogen.com. Again, that's greenfieldnitrogen.com.
Save more with Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Hey, what are you doing up here on the roof?
I want to tell the world I just met the woman of my dreams. What about you?
I want to tell the world that Liberty Mutual saved me $782.
Liberty did what?
They saved me $782.
Oh, you go first then. $782 really puts finding love into perspective.
Visit us online to get a quote and you could save $782. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Based on a recent countrywide new customer survey, coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company, Equal Housing Insurer.
Walk to prevent suicide. Join the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and participate in an Out of the Darkness community walk. Register for a walk near you at outofthedarkness.org. Suicide takes an enormous toll on families, friends, coworkers, and entire communities. Walk to raise awareness. Walk to raise funds for research, education, advocacy, and programs to support people impacted by suicide. Walk to save lives. Go to outofthedarkness.org today.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines. Or online, washersystems.com.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
I know. You picture a flag flying and it's almost always against a clear blue sky on a sunny summer day, right? Well, it doesn't have to be. Flag Guy here. Nothing wrong with a flag flying in the middle of winter. Your favorite team's colors would do well to break up the bleak, cold time of year. Besides, with the football playoffs, basketball getting great, and spring ball just around the corner, it's a great time to fly your flag. Shop Heartland Flagpoles and Flags, 3719 Southwest 9th in Des Moines, or take free shipping when you shop online at heartlandflags.com.
Hey guys, Trent Condon here again from 1700 KBGG. We made it. A new year upon us. A happy 2018. I know a lot of people have New Year's resolutions, things you want to improve upon, but a lot of times you need help. If better health is one of your goals in 2018, I have a place for you that has helped me. It's New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness has built a strong history helping one patient at a time. They'll make a program specifically designed for you, from weight loss, hormonal treatment, maybe it's migraines. So many things that New Leaf Wellness can help you with in 2018. What I want you to do, give them a call today, 515-650-1358. That's 650-1358. Give them a call. Let's feel better together. It's New Leaf Wellness, 650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. Back to Miller and Condon on 1700 KBGG.
Trek out of back with you, running solo today. Ken out in Vegas and makes his way to California. We'll talk with him later in the program today at about 1:40. But right now, it's time to talk with our man David Kaplan, NBC Sports Chicago, ESPN 1000. He wears many different hats, and he joins us here today, presented by Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. Capman, what's up?
Going on? How you doing, big boy?
Oh, I'm doing well. Basketball keeping me very busy right now. We got a girls' state basketball tournament, boys' state basketball next week. MVC tournament begins tomorrow with you and I in action, which I normally call the Drake Invitational. Not the case, though. Not the case, as Drake is actually already into the quarterfinal round. It's a busy time. And Iowa, Illinois today, a little border rivalry. Cap, that used to be a big rivalry back in the day. Not so much anymore with the Hawkeyes and Illini.
Yeah, it's unfortunate because both have fallen a little bit on hard times. You know, I'm a huge fan of Fran McCaffrey. I just really like the way the guy coaches. I like how hard his teams play. But yeah, it's unfortunate that neither of those teams look like they're poised to have a big-time March.
So, Cap, last Friday we all wake with the story from Yahoo about players being involved with agents, getting money, getting deals, meals, you know, things like that. Then the ESPN report on Sean Miller in Arizona and DeAndre Ayton comes out later that evening. Been a lot of moving parts. Where do you sit today with the FBI probe and just kind of this pale that hangs over college basketball right now?
Look, if anyone is surprised that players were getting paid, then they live, you know, with their heads stuck in a cloud. They're underneath a rock somewhere. I just don't understand how this is surprising. Now, is it, you know, something that should reach to FBI levels? That I don't know if I can tell you, because I haven't seen all the evidence, nor has anybody other than maybe a couple of these writers at Yahoo. But the interesting thing is that people are, you're kidding me, they're giving all this money to these players? Of course they are. Players should get paid. But, you know, some will say, and I know some listening are going to go, wait a minute. They get a $50,000 scholarship. That's enough. Well, if we live in a society where they're bringing in the NCAA tournament contract with CBS is north of $6 billion. I mean, that's billion with a B. They're not doing that to watch you, me, and Ken play. They're doing it to watch the best players in the world play at that level. So if those guys feel like they should get a piece of the pie, I can't say that they're wrong. This is not back in the 1950s when there wasn't, you know, big TV contracts and internet dollars and all of it. When I go into a sporting goods store at Michigan and I see Chris Webber jerseys when he was playing and he's not getting paid and his name is on the back of the jersey and they're selling it for $70 to $100 a jersey, why is that fair? Why should they be able to sell his name and likeness with his number on it? Nobody's buying it because they think that's David Kaplan's jersey. They're buying it because they think it's Chris Webber's jersey. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm all for paying the players, and I did not used to be that way.
Well, and it's funny, and you mentioned the 1960s, and the first thing that popped into my head, and we're talking about Illinois, didn't the Illini have a slush fund in the 1960s?
They did. So, they absolutely did.
As long as you have amateur athletics, isn't there always going to be cheating?
Look, anytime you have anything that has money attached to it and you have something of value at stake, a national championship and dollars that come into universities by the millions, yes, you're going to have people cheat. People cheat at anything to try and get an advantage. That's just the way it is. Is that right? No, but just that's a fact. So, yeah, there's not much you can do about it.
Cap, you were an assistant coach back in the 80s, and same kind of thing. Talk about slush funds in the 60s, and there was rampant cheating certainly happening then. is it worse today, or are players, maybe they understand now the even more money involved with those TV deals and everything else, that they have their hand out more? What's the difference between when you were in the coaching ranks?
I think the probably the dollars are greater now, obviously. But when I was coaching, I don't know if I've told you guys the story, but I've told it on my radio show that I had multiple times, you know, players have representatives ask me for money. And I had one kid I was recruiting who was a 6'3" center. He was a nice player. And to play at Northern Illinois, he would have been a beast. He wasn't North Carolina, Duke, that level. Mm-hmm. But he was getting recruited pretty heavily. And I worked him as hard as I possibly could. I'm this, you know, 23, 24-year-old assistant. But I, you know, I connected with him. And I got a phone call one day. Coach, yeah, so-and-so wants to sign. Let's do it this afternoon. Meet us at the barbershop at this address on the west side of Chicago. Bring the letter of intent. He'll sign it right there. I said, oh, that's amazing. What a great get for us. And him with Kenny Battle and some of the other guys we had, look out. And the next thing, before I hang up, he goes, oh, by the way, it'll be $5,000. We want it in small bills. I was making $4,200 as the assistant coach. Where am I getting $5,000? I said, I don't have $5,000. They went, okay, you don't get them. And he ended up signing at a bigger school, never played in the professional ranks that I know of, but was a really good college player. So, yeah, it's been going on forever.
Over to a little baseball, David Kaplan joining us here from Chicago. Want to jump into the Cubs, and we talk about, you know, the staff and Lester and the new signing with you, Darvish. A lot of people get excited about. You got Kyle Hendricks and the career that he's been able to put together. Your thoughts, though, on Jose Quintana, coming over a year ago from the White Sox during the midseason, was good, was solid, and really good down the stretch. But 29 years old now, just flipped over to 29. You know, how much more upside and how much better can Quintana be this year for the Cubs?
I think he can be a lot better. I've always said, you know, I felt like when he came over, he pitched okay. He was like a really nice brand-new Buick. Very nice car. Gets you where you have to go. But it wasn't a Mercedes, and you paid Mercedes prices. Now you have to, you know, you give up Eloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, and two more players. You have got to get that deal done where you got an ace. He's got to be a guy that you go, I'm comfortable with him pitching in the postseason. I can't say that yet. I've got to see him do that. So we're going to find out if he's going to do it, it's on this team right now because this team's loaded. They're loaded with talent. He should be able to have a big year.
What's the how's the rotation going to shake out? Is Lester going to get the start on opening day? Is it Darvish, the big money acquisition? And because a couple lefties with Quintana and Lester, you know, how do you think the five are going to go here?
Yeah, Joe announced just a little while ago that it will be Lester starts opening day. Mm-hmm. Then it goes Hendricks, Darvish, Quintana, Chatwood. That will be the five in that order.
Okay, Chatwood on his way over from Colorado. We obviously talked about that a lot when the signing happens. You know, you look at the baseball card numbers, and they don't jump out. He was pitching in Colorado, though. What's the expectation for Tyler Chatwood? Number five starter, certainly a nice guy to place in there, but 33 starts this year. If he gets that, what kind of range would you give him?
They really believe that they're about to get a guy who's about to have a breakout season. So if that is the case, and if that, you know, is the way that they believe, then he should be a, you know, really solid starter and a guy that you feel like every time he takes the ball, you have a chance to win. I think they do have five guys that they can send to the post where every single day they hand the ball to one guy and they go, we got a good chance to win today. And with the team that they've put together, they do have a good chance.
What's going on with Jake Arrieta? We've talked about this a lot, still out there. What's the latest you're hearing on him?
The last thing I heard was a 3-year offer at $85 million from the Philadelphia Phillies, and he rejected that. Look, he wanted 7 years. Guys at his level, he believes, get 7 years. I don't believe anyone's going to give him 7 years. Now, could he get option years to make it sound like seven? I guess. But I look at Jake and I think he was an amazing pitcher for the Chicago Cubs. Would I, if I had unlimited funds and I owned a team, would I give him a 7-year deal, there is no chance. Zero. I wouldn't go beyond 3. And I prefer having Yu Darvish. Now, we'll find out if the dark side of Jake sitting out and waiting for 7 years will end up costing him and he won't sign anywhere until late April into May. That's what I'm hearing. Some people are speculating. I can't believe that at some point in spring training, he's not going to go, fine, get me the best deal, let's just do this.
Over on the other side of town, the White Sox still rebuilding as they look to build their way up. Indians still the clear favorite in the Central. Twins, a playoff team of last year, expect to be pretty good. Saw a disappointing story, though, yesterday. One of their top prospects, Jake Berger, tore his Achilles yesterday. It's a young group. It's going to take a while, but certainly disappointing to see for Berger yesterday.
Yeah, that's a sad story because everything I've heard is not only is he a really good prospect, but he's a really, really good guy, and he fit very well into that organization. So that's disappointing to see. He's a really, really talented kid, and I thought he was going to be a real good fit for the White Sox. But, you know, hopefully this won't be anything less or anything more than a small speed bump. It's going to be knock him out for this year. It'll give him a chance to rehab, get in great shape, and you know, we'll see if he can come back strong a year from now.
So the Bulls have figured out this whole tanking thing now, huh?
I think they've figured it out. Okay, so they're what? They've got, 23 games left?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like 2-21, I would be a happy. 2-21, I would take that right now.
2-21, who do they get the wins against? You want to see a big upset against somebody, though, right?
I guess it'd be fun to win one where you go, that was fun,
yeah,
to knock off Boston or Cleveland or somebody.
How long is this rebuild going to take? It's dependent on who they get in the draft, how the ping pong balls fall this year, but are we talking about something like the Sixers that's extended over 5 years?
No chance.
Years? No?
If it does, then you're going to have a whole new front office and a new coach and everything. So, no, I'd be shocked if it took that long. Now, if it takes... something, I don't know, not 18, 19, maybe 19, 20, you're competing to get into the playoffs, so 6, 7, 8 spots in the playoffs. I think that's a fair timeline.
Good stuff. David Kaplan, Comcast, NBC Sports Chicago, joining us here. Cap, as always, great talking with you. Thanks for your time.
All right, you have a great day. I'll talk to you guys next week.
That sounds great. David Kaplan checking in from Chicago, finishing up his work over there and hopping over. And our conversations with Cappy brought to you each and every Wednesday by Heartland Flagpoles and Flags. Have the standalone store over on Southwest 9th Street. You can stop there. Or the easiest thing to do, just go to heartlandflags.com. All kinds of flags, you name it, from your traditional American flag, something to put up front at the house. You do that. Every team you can imagine. Ken, he can get a Winnipeg Jets flag. Winnipeg Jets, he's the only Jets fan I certainly know here in the state of Iowa. You name the team, they got you covered. Tons of Hawkeye, tons of Cyclone, Panthers, Bulldogs, they have all that and a whole lot more. HeartlandFlags.com is the website, and you can find them on Southwest 9th Street in Des Moines. We'll take the time out, back with more on the other side. Deeper dive into college basketball next, as we'll be joined by Aaron Torres from The Athletic. We'll get his thoughts on the continued scandal, and we'll get to the actual hardwood and talk about the games. We'll get into that on the other side. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday. It's the Ken Miller Show with Trent Condon on 1700 KBGG.
News, talk, sports. Yeah, we got all that online at 1700kbgg.com.
Well, it's that time of year again, tax time. Not all tax firms are the same. Hi, this is Mike Hammond, owner of Advantage Financial and Tax Services, located in West Des Moines. Not only am I a tax pro, but a certified financial planner as well. We can discuss tax savings ideas and financial services when we meet. We are not a chain and offer local and personalized service. Give us a try. Visit AdvantageIowa.com or call 440-1133. Advantage Financial and Tax Services.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Make plans to bring your family to Children and Families of Iowa's Kid Fest, presented by the Viridian Credit Union, March the 2nd through the 4th, the Iowa State Fairgrounds. It's fun for the entire family. Bounce houses, live entertainment, youth talent show, and everybody's favorite mascot. Superheroes and cartoon characters will be there as well. Details are available online at cfiowa.org. cfiowa.org, and we'll see you at Kids Fest.
Hello, basketball fans. This is Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. I opened the original Jethro's 10 years ago near Drake University. There are now 7 Jethro locations around the metro to serve you. Tournament time is barbecue time. Jethro's has been voted the best barbecue, best wings, and the best ribs in the city. Come to Jethro's and take the world-famous Adam Emenecker Challenge. Stop in and see me. I am Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. Order online at jethrosbbq.com.
When you join the Fuel Rewards program at Shell and get instant gold status, you'll save on every fill, every day.
But you'll feel like you just won a dance-off competition that saved the world.
That's what it feels like to have gold status with the Fuel Rewards program at Shell. With gold status, you'll save 5 cents with every gallon from the first fill. Download the Fuel Rewards app, join, and start saving today. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for full details.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, U.S. Tax Shield can help you take back control. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Our team of tax attorneys can stop collections and get you protected. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-466-9625. U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
The 2018 Girls State Basketball Tournament is on the air on 1700 KBGG. Join me, Trent Condon, for play-by-play action of all the locals in Class 5A through the state championship on Friday night from Wells Fargo Arena. The 2018 Iowa Girls State Basketball Tournament is presented by Jethro's Barbecue. Try the world-famous Emenecker Challenge at any of the 7 Jethro's locations around the metro. Looking for great barbecue? Make it Jethro's.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
You don't need more sports, but you want more sports.
Rockstar Satellite can fix that with free next-day installation on DirecTV. Call Rockstar Satellite, 515-262-STAR. Call today for next-day installation, 515-262-STAR.
You ever wonder what you look like with a full, natural head of hair? We'll find out. Mr. Executive lets you try before you buy. Get real hair again and a lease with options. Mr. Executive offers a 90-day lease for just $200. And at the end of 90 days, if you decide to keep your new hair, the initial investment goes toward the purchase price. Look, don't spend any more money on potions and lotions that don't work. Check the latest in hair replacement online at mrexecutive.com or call 274-4049. Mr. Executive, 70th and University in Windsor Heights.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at TheRookieSportsCards.com.
Is your child an animal lover? Host their birthday party at the Animal Rescue League of Iowa. The birthday guests will experience a mock adoption and take home their own plush animal. There will be face painting and also a visit from cuddly animals. This two-hour birthday party will allow time for birthday cake, gift opening, and a tour of the facility. We are now accepting reservations for next month. Get more information at arl-iowa.org/birthdays.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. Back to Miller and Condon on 1700 KBGG.
Trek out of back once again, running solo here this afternoon. Luckily for me and for you, we got to host a great guest today, including our next one, Aaron Torres with The Athletic, who joins us right now talking college basketball on the last day of February. What's going on today, Aaron?
Last day of February and hours from the start of the Big Ten tournament. How about that?
Oh.
Who would have ever thought the day would come, huh?
Iowa, with the loss today, will see their season end in February for the first time since 1938.
Wow.
A young, best known for his football exploits, player by the name of Niall Kinnick scored 6 points in that game that finished up the season for the Hawks that year.
The guy who they named the stadium after?
The same one. Long time ago.
What a time to be alive, huh?
This has been a confounding year. Now, Aaron, on the national scene, I'm sure you haven't watched a whole lot of Iowa basketball, and good for you, because it's been hideous to watch. But
I've tried to avoid it at all costs, perfectly honest.
Do you have any sense, Fran McCaffrey, now this is year number 8 for him, had the build-up, got him to 3 straight NCAA tournaments. Last year, they were a game away from getting in for losing in the Big Ten tournament to Indiana. But when you think of this Iowa program and Fran McCaffrey, just where do your thoughts go overall with the program?
Yeah, I think Iowa, to me, is a really fascinating program, because I do think that I don't think people realize, for the most part, how successful this program has been. I mean, you talk about 3 NCAA tournaments in what, the last 5 years, but obviously missing the tourney last year, making the NIT, and then, obviously the season that they're having this year. It's just so fascinating to me. And I think that the coming, I don't know that Fran McCaffrey is on the quote-unquote hot seat or anything like that, but, the next year or so is going to be really, really fascinating to me, and I'll tell you why. It's because if you go back to last offseason, there are a lot of programs that have made some high-profile moves and really beefed up this conference. I think you can really kind of equate it on a smaller scale to what's happened in football, where 6-7 years ago the Big Ten was this laughingstock, they can't compete with the SEC. All of a sudden you bring in Jim Harbaugh at Michigan, Scott Frost at Nebraska, P.J. Fleck at Minnesota, Paul Christ at Wisconsin. You go on and on down the list, and all of a sudden you look up and you say, oh my God, when did the Big Ten get so good? I forgot about James Franklin, who's had maybe the best program over the last 2 years. So I think that's kind of what's happening in basketball. You look at Archie Miller at Indiana. You look at, I think Brad Underwood's going to be pretty good in time at Illinois. We know what Matt Painter, Tom Izzo, those guys kind of have it rocking and rolling. Chris Holtmann, I forgot to mention, yeah. Chris Holtmann. So to me, I'm not saying, like I said, I'm not saying Fran McCaffrey's on the hot seat or he's lost his touch or he's got to go, but they got to get it rolling in the right direction, because there is a chance that they could, if they don't get it figured out in the next 12 months or so, they could get left behind. And so to me, it's going to be a fascinating, interesting couple months, following this program.
So another one of those programs that might be in trouble with something like that is our neighbors up to the northeast, and that's Wisconsin. The Badgers, who, had just such a great run over basically a 20-year stretch. Bo Ryan, 12 consecutive top 4 finishes in the Big Ten. You just knew year after year they were going to be there. They rebounded a couple years back. Last year, a tournament team, but here a big dip back. I had this thought. Tony Bennett, when I looked at his contract, doesn't make a ton of money. Wisconsin, if they're not happy with Greg Gard, do you make the phone call and say, here's a check. Here's 7 years, $42 million. Come home, come back to Wisconsin, and bring us back to what we've seen over the last 2 decades.
Well, it's really funny, right? Tony Bennett, to me, is a fascinating character, and I'll tell you why. Is because I think there's literally like 15 programs in college basketball that think Tony Bennett is going to be their next coach. Seriously, it makes sense because this guy has been hyper successful at a school that it's not traditional. Mm-hmm. I think everyone feels like there's a next logical step. So I'll tell you right now, Wisconsin fans have made this argument to me. I think there was a time where Louisville fans thought that Tony Bennett was going to be the next guy. I've had more than one person tell me that he would be a logical successor to Coach K at Duke, should Coach K leave over the next couple of years. Now, I'll tell you this. I'll say this about Wisconsin. One, certainly what the point that you bring up, the money is there. Two, I think the other thing that Wisconsin has going is that the administration is familiar with Tony Bennett. So often in college athletics, athletic directors change and so because you were at a school 15 years earlier, it's very unlikely that you're going to be working for the same bosses. Only that's what would happen with the Bennett family. I know Tony was never the coach there. His dad was. My sense following Tony Bennett, he seems really happy where he is. Like you guys said, there are a lot of places that would be lucky to have him, and it does feel like there is a logical next step in his career, and frankly, it might be as an NBA head coach. I just don't know that at this particular moment that he's looking to just rebuild another college. Now, maybe that'll be different. You know, the thing, we got to remember this about college sports, guys, and really sports in general. This is all a year-to-year thing. I mean, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if Tony Bennett, if they went 15-15 next year and he felt like, this thing's heading in the wrong direction, then yeah, he might be looking for an escape hatch. The example I always use, look at Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. I mean, that guy in 4 months went from a preseason top five national championship contender to sneaking out the side door at Florida State to go to Texas A&M. So you never say never, but right now it feels like if Tony Bennett's going to take a next step, it's either to the NBA or to one of the really, really, really uber elite programs in college basketball, like potentially a Duke or a North Carolina.
You know, it's funny that you talk about, guys making the leap and how quickly it can dissipate. And it got me thinking about here in our state at UNI, Northern Iowa, Ben Jacobson. Took the team to the Sweet 16 with that upset in Kansas in his fourth year. Had the tournament the year before that. He's been to the NCAA tournament four different times. Had the late collapse against Texas A&M the last time. But the last 2 years, the Panthers have slipped, including this year. For the first time in his tenure, they'll be playing in the opening round of Arch Madness starting tomorrow night. Ben Jacobson, he's got a couple of senior starters up front here. A guy like that, and a lower tier Power Five job that kind of strikes out at some of the candidates. Do you think he could be a guy that's still looking around? He's had opportunities before 47, and is it tough to bring in a guy that doesn't just have that recent success, not an NCAA tournament you can look at last year, and then try to sell that at a fan base? I don't know, like an Oregon State, something like that.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating question because there was a time where he was the hottest name as a mid-major coach, really dating back to the time that he beat Kansas in the NCAA tournament, 2010, I believe. Yep. And he just kind of stuck put. And look, Northern Iowa is a great mid-major job, and we've seen guys leave there and leave other mid-major jobs for the quote-unquote next big thing and not have had the level of success and end up out of coaching. I mean, Todd Licklider at Butler was the guy that got that thing rolling. He ended up at Iowa, as you guys know.
Don't remind us.
I'm sorry. I feel terrible. I'll never mention that name again. It's interesting because it's always that weird dynamic of if you have it rolling at a small school, especially in modern college basketball where there's so much transfers, where the top programs are so young every year, you don't have to leave. I mean, look at all the guys that have stayed put and had success. I mean, Mark Few is the most obvious one, but Greg Marshall, you go across this sport, there are those guys, but you run the risk of if you can't keep it rolling, then what happens? And so I think Ben Jacobson is an interesting character because I do think that to your point, a lower level mid-major school or lower level high major school, anyone in the Power Six, if you include the Big East, I could see him trying to sneak out the side door and get one of those jobs. The question is, he's so tied to the Midwest which one makes sense. And again, to kind of go back to the beginning of our conversation, the Big Ten, they're not afraid to cut a check if they think they found the right guy. Mm-hmm. And so is that the kind of guy that when you have all the resources that a Big Ten school has, is that the kind of guy that you're willing to pay when maybe you could pay $1 million more, which is not, which to us is a lot, but maybe to an AD in the Big Ten it isn't, but you pay $1 million more and you get, a more high-profile coach, you know?
And the one that I really do wonder about, if little Ricky Pitino decides to fly the coop in Minnesota.
Great point.
He's a North Dakota kid. Ben Jacobson is. Played at North Dakota. Knows the upper Midwest well. If that'd be a
great
destination
point
for him. Hey, speaking of the MVC, Loyola got off to a nice start this year, then pulled that upset on the road at Florida. After Wichita left, well, first when Creighton left, it's going to be a one-bid league. Well, that wasn't the case. We saw a couple years, both you and I and Wichita got there, and Wichita's program ascends. They move on. Now here's Loyola. It's not likely, but it's still an opportunity if Loyola gets knocked, say, in the championship game, they could get in as an at-large. But when you look at the future of the MVC, do you see them falling into also-ran status of the MAC, the Horizon, just another mid-major that's a one-bid league, or can they at least in some years be able to find a way to get a couple teams in?
Well, I'll kind of, in a weird way, defer to you guys, and let me explain why, is because the programs that you mentioned as those powers in that conference, mm-hmm. Everyone kind of thinks of the glory days of the Missouri Valley. And well, here's the thing, Creighton plays in an 18,000 seat arena.
Yep.
There's nothing mid-major about that except that they were in a mid-major conference. Wichita State, we know that financially, that the Wichita basketball program is very well financed. They pay Greg Marshall more than a lot of Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12 kind of coaches. And so to me, when you're competing on that level, when you can keep a great coach, when you can sell a recruit, even if he isn't a five-star, but, kind of to the point we're making earlier, even when Creighton was in the Missouri Valley, if you can bring him to an arena with 18,000 seats, a recruit, and you're comparing that with going to a bad Big Ten program where they're getting 9,000 every night, that's a pretty good sell for Creighton. And so to kind of answer your question, I'd have to defer to you guys. I don't know, what the resources that a school like Loyola has, that a school like Illinois State has, that a school like Indiana State has, because, if they can offer the same opportunities that Wichita and Creighton can, then I think it can remain the same. And I will say that, every year I watch the Missouri Valley Tournament. I've never had the opportunity to actually attend, but that looks like one of the great events anywhere. It's great, it's incredibly well supported by those teams and their fan bases. So I think it just really comes down to, do you still feel like you have those programs that can kind of carry the baton even without a Wichita State and a Creighton? And that's something that I got to defer to you guys on.
Yeah,
Frankly, I'm curious for your opinion about it as well.
Well, the programs that are important, Illinois State, it's a big school. It's over 20,000 undergrad enrollment. Same for Missouri State. Those are almost the sleeping giants, if you will, and we've seen success from both of those programs in the past, but those need to become the Wichita, the Creighton. You and I needs to continue kind of what they've been able to do over the last decade, and then you need some of the private schools to bounce up. I think it still can happen. I think the resources are certainly there for them not to drop down, but certainly the days that we saw, 12 years ago of getting four teams in the NCAA tournament, that's not likely anymore.
Yeah, and what I would add is this, is that you kind of bring up the point of the premier programs, and I say that to you as somebody who is standing here in front of my mirror at my apartment wearing a UConn basketball shirt.
Oh,
I went to UConn, and the reason I bring up UConn is this, is because, the AAC has a reputation as kind of a second-tier league, all that stuff, and they're probably going to get three bids this year, by the way, with Wichita, Cincinnati, and Houston. And, of course, SMU was trending to get into the NCAA tournament before they were just ravaged by injuries. So why do I bring up UConn? It's because, the AAC, certainly, I don't think anybody compares it to those Power 5 conferences, to the Big 12, to the Big 10, but how different would the perception be if UConn was still what UConn was 7, 8, 10 years ago when I was on campus there. What would the perception of the league be if Memphis was playing at the level, maybe not even that they were at the end of the John Calipari era, but more the middle of the John Calipari era when they were still winning 25 games and going to the NCAA tournament every year? You know, I think the perception, it's interesting because covering this sport, you know, talking to ADs and you know, conference people and stuff like that, it is fascinating that every conference's overall health really is dependent on two or three programs, right? Everyone kind of, maybe not so much this year because everybody's so good, but most years in the SEC, if Kentucky isn't dominating and somebody else is on top, it's considered a down year in the SEC. You know, living on the West Coast a lot, you know, I spent a lot of time covering the Mountain West, and the Mountain West, you know, when San Diego State is down, when UNLV is down, it doesn't have the same feel as when those programs are up. So I think it kind of piggybacks off your point is that, you know, it really comes down to can those marquee programs get healthy, because the conference looks a lot different when those teams that you expect to be good actually are good.
Aaron Torres with The Athletic. Aaron, we made it through the whole conversation and not any talk about the FBI. I think I should get an award for that.
Yeah. Hopefully our phone lines aren't tapped, though. That's my only concern.
Very true. Very true. Thanks, Aaron.
By the way, I was gonna say if the FBI does have my phone tapped, all they're gonna hear is me talking a lot about the FBI phone wiretaps. So be interesting if that happened. It would be one big weird cycle. But yeah, no FBI talk. So it was fun.
We'll be in good shape there. Thanks for your time today. We'll talk again soon, Aaron.
Thank you.
Aaron Torres, always a great conversation. Love that guy. Talking basketball with him. Hour in the books, another hour to go on the other side here on 1700 KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hello, basketball fans. This is Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. I opened the original Jethro's 10 years ago near Drake University. There are now 7 Jethro locations around the metro to serve you. Tournament time is barbecue time. Jethro's has been voted the best barbecue, best wings, and the best ribs in the city. Come to Jethro's and take the world-famous Adam Emenecker Challenge. Stop in and see me. I am Bruce Gerlman, and I own Jethro's Barbecue. Order online at jethrosbbq.com.
Hey, honey, look at what I found on Pinterest. This is exactly what I want you to do.
Hi, I'm Jeff Kelling, owner of Renovate It Solutions. Do-it-yourself projects are fantastic until you can't do it yourself. Good news is, no matter what kind of pins your better half has been sharing with you, we can do it all. From roofs, siding, windows, to new kitchens, baths, man caves, and even complete additions. This year, don't just pin it, produce it with Renovate It Solutions. At Renovate It Solutions, we're celebrating our 10th anniversary by offering $500 off your project. So when the pins come in, don't do the Google gamble and hope you're hiring someone reputable. Instead, call Renovate It. I'm Jeff, the owner, and you can always get a hold of me. Call 515-954-6372. That's 515-954-6372 for Renovate It Solution. Or find us online at renovateithomes.com. That's renovateithomes.com. Book your project in the